I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, every month, if you listen often enough, you already know this, we invite our good friend, Dr. Troy Sproul, on the show to talk about health and the healing process. And today, we're going to kick off our conversation. I always ask Doc what he wants to talk about, and he, you know, most times brings back a topic based on some of the things he's seeing in his practice. But today we're going to talk about how the lies we believe directly impact our health. But we'll also answer your questions. And I just want to say there is kind of a consistent pattern with when the questions come in. Everybody's pretty quiet for about 37 minutes. And then, you know, the last 23 minutes, they come flooding in and we cannot possibly get to them all. So if you're a planner, a header, now is the time to do it. All right. So you can text in your question, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And we'll weave those questions in as well. Also, just a caveat, just need to say this. Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose you over the airwaves. And his advice isn't meant to take the place of your physician. Always consult your physician before going off meds or making any kind of drastic changes to your healthcare program. But we do both very much believe that every step towards health and healing matters. And there's a lot more that you can do to help your body heal than you probably even know. And that's why we bring them on every month, just to equip you, empower you, and encourage you to believe that God wants you well. We believe that with all of our hearts. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here. One of my favorite places to
be. Yeah, we love it too. It's like home when we get all back, the band back together every month.
Right.
So you know this, we love to start by talking scripture, and I'm wondering what's on your heart today.
I went Old Testament today. It's Jeremiah 7:8. Behold, you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I chose that is because what I'll be talking about is the lies we believe. And even though I know he's talking about lies that they're hearing or getting from outside, and his main focus is really about insincere worship and not trusting God, this is what I see in the clinic quite often, is that people come in and at some point in their life, there's a lie they believe about themselves or a lie they believe about the world, and they've created a perception, and that is actually holding them back from a healing. And so there's a trust in God that we have to get ourselves to, but a lot of times we have to identify and bust through those lies. So a little bit later, I'll share how one of the ways we identify that and help people, even listening here, to identify it. And I'm telling you, if you can identify one lie you believe and change it into a good habit, just one a year, that's a game changer for just how you're living your life and just your health in general.
Boy, you start to really gain momentum. I'm afraid I'm just going to totally butcher this, but we're live radio and this is a gray space, so I'm just going for it. But I know there's something in the brain, and I think it's RAS, something like reticular
activating system, yeah.
I was right.
Yes.
And that's why they call me Dr. Susie. I just want to qualify my qualifying.
I like to know who they are.
There's just a few listeners, but it's all I need. Kev always says, just because you say it doesn't make it so, because I say I'm a Navy SEAL too. But anyway, but this RAS, this reticular, what is it again?
Reticular activating system.
It's amazing to me, the little bit I know about it, but the idea of really what your brain looks for is what you believe. So if you really believe when you walk in a room that nobody likes you, your brain is going to look for evidence to back it up, even if it's not true. So speak to that dynamic of how that works.
Exactly. If you walk into a room and you believe that no one's going to like you, you're going to look for the faces and you'll see someone scowling, and that scowl will mean, oh, they don't like me. And that's what your belief is going to be. Even if it's just an intestinal cramp or they're in deep thought, it doesn't really matter. we misinterpret what they're saying. So that's a lie we're believing. And that how we enter that room means everything, really. And so the secret, though, or the tough parts are to identify the lies that are like subconscious, the ones where we really don't know, we're not even aware they're there, because they could have come from early childhood. We may have heard something and accepted it. And it may have even come from someone that loved us and we accepted it. Hmm. So our worth, our value, all kinds of different things. And I'll give you an example. One of the best ways to identify if there's a lie you believe is if you throw out an excuse. If you ever hear yourself say an excuse, know that there's a lie behind that excuse.
Hmm. Say more.
So I heard a pastor years ago say, an excuse is nothing more than a reason wrapped in the skin of a lie. Hmm. And I kind of heard that and I thought, well, that's kind of funny. That's what we see when we can help people identify something and get them through it. All of a sudden, there's freedom in that. Things just open up. So I'll give you an example, because I teach this in one of the classes at the clinic. A few months back, maybe 8 or 9 months back, I actually heard myself throw out an excuse. I said to one of my team members, I don't have time for that. And then I went back to my office. I literally just finished giving the class and then heard myself say that. So I wrote down, I don't have time for that. And I literally didn't have time for it at the time. I had patients and stuff. So I didn't get to it for a couple of days. And then I started diving into it. And the reality was, that was an excuse that came out of my mouth. But the lie was that I didn't want to delegate a project that, because I didn't think it would be done as well as I would do it. And so that was a lie. And I started to look at, okay, I can delegate it. And I did delegate it. And then it wasn't what I wanted in the first week. But by the second week, it was already better than what I was planning on putting together. And I was still planning on doing 90% of it. And having one of the other doctors only do 10% of it, and it ended up being flipped. So I ended up doing 10% of it, and she did 90% of it, and it was way better than anything I would put together. And she did a great job with it, and such a good job, we put her in charge of the entire program, which I was going to be in charge of.
Wow.
And so it was one of those things where not only did, once I identified that, it opened up, I had more time to work on other things then. Hmm. And so the lie was that they wouldn't do as good a job as I would have done, and they ended up doing a better one.
Nah.
And there are other things that are much, much more deep. Years ago, I wrote a book where the lie, I had a muscle disorder at the time. The lie I believed is that I was weak as a man, and even though outwardly in public, I didn't think that, or I was, you know, a type A personality, no one would have ever thought that, but that's what the book was about, and that's what ended up being a lie that I had somehow believed because of early childhood stuff. So we see that with our patients all the time, where there's something they believe that they don't know about, and then
they're making excuses
for them or people they love or in other areas of life.
Or why they're making accommodations for it. I mean, I would imagine one that's so common is this thing runs in the family. Whatever this thing is, it could be alcoholism, it could be a predisposition to anxiety. And the thing is, we've touched on this before, but it's worth mentioning again, you may have a predisposition to alcoholism or anxiety because of, you know, the way that it was handed down to you. So you may have an uphill climb. You may have a harder row to hoe, but you don't have an impossible one. You have a say in changing the trajectory, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And the most common one that I do hear is usually around weight gain, meaning that's genetic. My weight gain is genetic. And the reality is it's more weight gain and alcohol are two of the big ones. And it really is more the habits that you created. So one of our patients had family reunions, and when they got together for family reunions, they would just drink a lot of alcohol, and it was fun, laughter. No one really got out of control, but that was their habit. So they associated joy and happiness and laughter with alcohol, and so the lie they were believing was that they didn't think they could have fun at a family reunion if they weren't drinking. And so they drank all the time at these family reunions and these gatherings, and they got together a lot, I guess. So we just identified that and said, now, can you have fun without without drinking. And when she got to that point, it changed everything. So there are lies that we believe. And when you get through those lies, lies come from Satan, then you remove them and change them with a good, healthy, truthful habit. You become more in line with the healing that God has enabled for us, all of us, to be able to have.
Mm. So maybe you are believing a lie that, you know, fear has run in the family, anxiety has run in the family, a lack of discipline, maybe even a lack of planning. And some of that, you know, is just habits handed down. There is something interesting called epigenetics that, you know, choices of those before you do impact your tendencies, even at a cellular level. Very interesting. But you always have choices. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about just some scripture that really connects attitudes to our physiology, like this one. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. We're going to pull that apart. How does a heart at peace actually give life to the body? How does envy rot the bones? We're going to look at a few scripture like that. I see a few questions that have come in as well. Text in your questions to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Having a great conversation, as usual, with our friend Dr. Troy Spurl. He's founder and CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. Joins us every month to talk about health and the healing process. And we always like to kick off our conversations with a particular topic, and then we move into answering questions. And I see quite a few great, well, they're all great questions that have come in. But right now, we're going to just camp for just a few more minutes on this idea of the physiological impact to the things that we believe. And Doc, Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Pick that apart for us. Why and how does a heart at peace bring life to the body? Why and how does envy rot the bones?
Well, heart at peace just helps everything work. It's like fasting almost for your energy systems. And so when people are really going all the time, there's just two words that I always just bring up from scripture, and that is be still. Hmm. And to start most healing, especially healing of the mind, be still. We want to actually be still in with the Lord, just be with our body. And so a peaceful, restful heart, we don't have the angst. We don't have the hurt. We actually have our physiology is working better. And they did find, again, some research from Dr. Lipton, years ago, found that people were in a state of fear, their cells would literally fold over on each other. People in a state of love, the cells would open up, accepting of the nutrients. So if you have a heart that is at peace and you're just settled, regardless of what's going on around you, the chaos, you're going to be absorbing the nutrients that are being given to you. You're going to be having things work optimally when you have that that rested, peaceful heart.
I almost wonder if a heart at peace is likened to the rest and digest state, you know, because it seems the opposite of the fight-flight state. You're not bracing for impact. You're in that rest kind of receptive state.
Yeah, and the vagus nerve, which actually helps with the rest and digest part of it, actually controls the part of the heart muscle itself.
Oh, so interesting.
It's actually very much connected there.
So what I said was actually smarter than I even realized.
It was quite
so
a bit,
you about to
actually.
Say that, weren't you?
Yes.
And envy, I kind of think of acid reflux when I think of envy. How does envy rot the bones?
Well, envy and resentment, for whatever reason, we tend to find liver and detoxification problems. It's unbelievable how certain emotions will actually affect certain organs. But envy and any type of resentment, the liver and your detox systems, kidney, liver, start to not work as well. When your kidneys stop working, then your acid in the body builds up. So acid literally wears away bones because you need calcium to actually pull it off. The liver causes us to be more inflamed. So the liver will actually back up, and then we have an inflammatory reaction inside. And then it actually makes us more reactive, more inflammatory emotionally. So we also see with lack of forgiveness, things like arthritis, and which is also has to do with acid imbalances, start to increase as well. So there are books out there that talk about biblical truths and connecting them with specific diseases, and lack of forgiveness and arthritis go hand in hand a lot of times. So there are some very interesting physical consequences and physiological consequences to these emotions. Now, there's a two-way street. So just if you have arthritis, it doesn't mean there's a lack of forgiveness. There are other causes of that as well. Different things can affect the liver and the kidneys. But we do see those emotions. We're aware of that potential pattern. So when we're working with people, we're also investigating that a little bit. And you'd be surprised when you have one of those emotional burdens just released, if you will, where they fully accept the forgiveness, their imperfections, whatever it is that they have to do, surrender at a heartfelt level, then we see the actual physiological consequences in a good way.
This is one of the reasons I'm so committed to seeing and helping people experience inner healing, because you really, if you are just have so much trauma in your soul, so much breakdown and fracturedness in your soul, you can be as disciplined as ever. You're still never be fully healthy. And so this is why dealing with those things gives yourself kind of a fighting chance, you know? And so incredibly important. All right, well, this listener writes in, super interesting. What tools can we use to disconnect our emotions from the lies that creep in, yet not become emotionless? That's a heady question.
That is.
Wow.
Well, I don't want to say disconnect, because we have to embrace the emotions. So it's one of those things where we really don't want to disconnect. We want to accept that that's who we are. And so when we accept who we are in that light, then all that does is it shows us how imperfect we are. And the beautiful part about recognizing our imperfections is just showing us how far from perfection we are, and that God covers that distance.
Good word.
And so we have that grace being given to us, and that's okay. We're not perfect, and that's where we need to start. And we don't want to change who you are. I'm going to give you an example. All of us have spiritual gifts. All of us have strengths. When those strengths become in excess, though, they can become our perceived weaknesses. So if my strength is confidence and I'm overconfident, it can become arrogance. If your strength is supporting others and over-supporting others, you can become self-sacrificing or a victim. And so it's the same thing with all of our strengths. The lie is with that is that we have to change who we are. We have to surrender who we are. We have to reel in our strength a little bit more and trust God more. We got to give it to God. And that's how we see the changes. So it's not disconnecting from the emotion. It's thanking God that you were able to experience that emotion, and then thanking Him for covering our imperfections and then moving forward.
Isn't that emotion also information? Like you were feeling like, I don't have time for that. And once you went back to your office, you're like, okay, what's that about? Because there's maybe a little emotion behind it. You realized you are stretched thin. There's a lot of people pulling on you, and you felt like, this is yet one more thing I can't do, and I'm afraid to delegate it. And once you retrace that, peace came, and you start to see, you know, health happen. So instead of, as you say, disconnecting, maybe leaning in and going, what is this? I think when we lead with our emotions, we get in trouble. But I also think when we numb our emotions, we get in worse trouble, because it's when you're numbing those emotions, you're stuffing lies into the basement, and there will be physiological consequences. As my counselor friend said, you know what? She said, we can't meet with all of the women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s right now. They're lining up with so many, and doctors will say, we don't have a diagnosis for you. But she says over and over again, these women have stuffed their emotions and numbed out and with busy work. But she says those emotions will get your attention another way.
Yes.
And that's where they come into play, where they walk them through some of the loss, some of the heartbreak, some of the stuff they've not reconciled. And she says, lo and behold, you start to see these symptoms slowly go away. And I would submit that it's not just women. I think men are very good at stuffing these emotions, right?
Yes. Yeah. Men are very good at it. We're much more linear. So we put them all in one place. Women are very sneaky. They put them in multiple areas in their body. They're good at multitasking and putting things away like that. But
you put them in one place and then you blow up the building.
That's right.
All right, here we go. This dear listener said, Susie, Dr. Troy, Susan, my husband Daniel was very sick yesterday, starting with badly blurred vision, turning into a severe headache, eyes and nose running, and slightly purple complexion. We finally realized he probably had carbon monoxide poisoning. He's feeling a lot better, but are there things we could do or should do to help his body recover. First of all, why don't you come over to my dry heat sauna? Maybe that's not right. But anyway, what should they do?
So it was confirmed carbon monoxide poisoning.
I don't know.
So,
would you confirm with us that it was? Does that sound like carbon monoxide?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And so I'd like to know the source. So that always has to be looked at. And there's, you know, engines running. It's going to be something like that. Or within the house, making sure you have carbon monoxide detectors and everything. I don't treat a lot of carbon monoxide. So we want to make sure we get the oxygen levels up and right away, but I would defer that one to more of the experts. What I know is that if there's anything lingering, we usually have to help with the oxygen delivery system a little bit more. And generally speaking, we tend to refer to the ER when there's problems with carbon monoxide, especially acute carbon monoxide.
Wow, God bless you. I'm glad he's still with us, but wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Susie, you have a peek into my life. I believe that I'm not worthwhile because of something a very close family member said to me when I was a teenager 40 years ago. No matter what I try to do, I cannot get past that. So I'm constantly looking for verification of what I am to those around other people. I use their actions and their words to justify and make me believe the lie that I'm believing about myself. My health is really suffering because of it. What do you say? Wow.
That is a perfect example of what we were talking about. And everyone, I want you to know that you are not alone.
Yeah.
Everyone who comes through the doors, we identify something at some point in some time. And so especially if people are working on themselves and working on the relationship with God and developing a true relationship, he will help you to reveal that. So the fact that you already know all of that is brilliant. It also means that you need to identify the lie and just call it out as the lie and start to move through it. Say, I'm not accepting that about myself.
I reject rejection in the name of Jesus, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a song by Kim Walker called Protector. And the opening line is, I come out of agreement with the lies that have once, I don't remember the rest of it, but held me, you know, told me I was not enough. I want you to listen, dear one, to Protector by Kim Walker. And we can maybe even see if we can pull it up. I don't know if we can or not. But Lord, I just pray for this dear one. And I just, we command that lie to be fully exposed so that she can confront it and break off her agreement with it, Lord. We just pray for healing. We pray for redemption and restoration in her soul. Lord, I pray you'd put a little grit in her growl so that she can stomp her foot, put a flag in the ground and say, this far and no more. I don't care if this lie feels true. It's not true. It's a lie. And I'm standing on the truth until it feels true. Lord, I pray you give her that kind of courage and conviction to break up with the lie and to stand on the truth in Jesus' name. Said you never leave me and you won't. That's Kim Walker with Protector. We played that for you, dear Carmen. And for all of you, you know that we do need to do this. We need to take some inventory and say, Lord, show me the lies that I believe, because I guarantee you that a lie is wreaking havoc on your life. It's holding you captive and it's holding you back from the best health that you could possibly have. Dr. Troy Sproul joins me today. He joins me every month, but we wanted to kick off our conversation. And once you know, Doc, we're already well into over half the show and we're still talking about it, but there's so much here to talk about. I'm going back and forth because there's so many good questions, and some of them are really connected to what we're talking about. So let's tackle this one. But then I really want to give you the floor and let you just kind of unpack more the physiological connections to the lies we believe. But this one, oh my goodness, I want to hug our dear listeners so much. My dear husband has had post-traumatic stress disorder from childhood. He was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes about 8 years ago at 65, was told by doctors he's losing his battle with diabetes, which type 2 is treatable. So that's so painful. Can his diabetes be reversed if he deals with the PTSD? How is the best way to treat this? What do you say?
Well, what I would say is, generally speaking, with all of our patients, and even the tough patients that come in, we have people coming in wheelchairs and people coming from all walks of just horrific circumstances as far as what they've had to deal with. What we know is that to get well many times, and we're talking about a true healing, you have to address the mental, chemical, physical, and spiritual side of health. And so we need to have to be working on all four of those. And sometimes we can really do a lot just with the physical and the chemical. And traditional medicine and even some alternative practices really just focus on those two. And the reality is the spiritual and the emotional side of it are just that much more important, if you will. We have seen miracles occur when people truly acknowledge and address the circumstances that led to the PTSD. So I don't know if he's done anything for PTSD, but what I will say is, if there's a good if you get to the core root issue with what set up the PTSD, work on that, then there is a healing that's potentially there for him. If he's never expressed even what happened, then there's even more of a possibility that just by working with the right people and expressing what was going on, there's a healing there. There's a book I want you to read. It's called The Deepest Well, and it talks about the kids going through traumas early in life and the diseases they get later in life.
Oh, my word. You got to be kidding me.
And very, very brilliant medical doctor down in California just was observing what was happening with the kids in her community and then what they would get later in life, and then went back to some of the people that were going through stuff later in life, asked them about their childhood. And I'll say this. I have a person right now who's in her late 70s who had a very traumatic life, siblings dying in her arms, parents dying in her arms before the age of 12. And when I started asking her about that, she got a little teary-eyed, and then she got upset with herself. And I asked her, is that okay? It's okay to talk about it. And she says, I've never told anyone this. Late 70s, and she's never walked through the emotions of growing up with all the trauma she had. She lost a parent in her arms and started being the parent at age 12. And then just beautiful, beautiful soul, just lived for other people, her family, but never was taken care of that way with her own emotions. Basically, was just there for everyone else the rest of her life. And we're talking about 65 plus years of doing that. She never got to be a kid. So it's important to work on those emotions, and not to bring them up, but to actually deal with them with the brain of a 65-year-old and with some help. There's just, you never know what's possible. And again, we've said this before, but this is another way of looking at it. When you are closed off and your cells are closed off, it doesn't matter what nutrients or chemicals you're being given. They don't get into the body as effectively.
Right.
And so by opening things up and by being at peace in your heart, by being at peace to what happened early in your life, your cells open up to receive the goodness that God has for you. And that's crucial when it comes to your healing. And as painful it is to go through, the healing or that pain, unfortunately, many times has to be experienced to get to the healing.
Yeah. So to have unresolved trauma and then feel like you're losing the battle of type 2 diabetes, boy, it seems like, you know, an urgent parallel path right now would be to be seeing a counselor that's safe to you, someone who can help you resolve that trauma. That is, to me, a hot button emergency issue, just like the physiological. It seems like they need to go hand in hand, doesn't it, right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of very, very good Christian counselors out there to work with. And there are a lot of other techniques to help bring you through this as well.
Yeah, and I would imagine once the trauma gets settled and resolved, you're going to just be putting so much more power and energy into the physical battle, because then you're not fighting against yourself anymore.
Correct.
I mean, you think about all the things you're trying hard not to feel, and probably all of the coping mechanisms that have been unhealthy. You can't do that anymore. So to be able to address those and then put all that energy into health, you may see an exponential leap forward in your healing process. So, Doc, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. So you're quick, Angie. The deepest well, healing the long-term effects of childhood trauma and adversity. Angie just pulled that up. Nadine Burke Harris, Dr. Nadine Burke Harris. Wow, that's looks interesting. What would you say, can you think of a story of a patient where you were most wowed by the emotional connection, the lie they believed, and the healing they received? You know what I mean? Can you think of one where you go, oh, wow, this was so directly connected to the lie, and wow, look at how what they're doing now.
Yeah, I actually have this testimony on our website, and so I know she wouldn't mind me sharing her story, but she came in with ulcerative colitis and 15 years plus of ulcerative colitis. She would eat and then have blood in her stool after every meal, every day. And then she also had debilitating neck pain. So she had to see her chiropractor 3 times a week just to stay out of pain with the neck. And when we did our assessment, we found that her neck pain was all coming from the digestive dysfunction. So we said, when we get the bowels working and the colitis addressed, you won't need to get adjusted every week. And she said, I'll believe that when I see it, which I'm 100% okay with. That's a good statement, actually. And so we got started, and we found a whole bunch of things with lab work. We found a whole bunch of things with physical, and we started working on it right away. Had to improve her sleep and a few other factors. And we were seeing gains being made the first month, and she was actually giving us a little bit of a challenge. She said, I heard you help everyone, and you can do all this stuff, and I'm not feeling any better after a month. And I said, well, we're seeing changes in the physical and the chemical. Her labs were improving. The physical markers were improving. So we kept going, and she, same thing, 2 months, then 3 months, same, no changes with how she felt, but everything was improving. So finally, we got to the point, and I said, we need to address the emotional connection here. And she said, no, that's my strength. She goes, I'm really good at that, and she was. It was her strength. It was her gift. She worked with other women within the church, and she was just really good at that. And she could pick their stuff out and help them with it instantly. And so she actually fought me 3 times. We joke about it now, but she fought me 3 visits in a row. And she said, there's nothing emotional. I'm on top of that. And then we were walking out of the office one day, and I just said something. And the funny thing is, neither one of us remember what I said, but it caused her to pause and reflect. And then she went home and she said, oh my gosh, there's something there. He's right. And she realized she hated her body. She hated that she had to eat different and be different than everyone else. And so instead of hating her body, she thanked God for the body he gave her, and then something happened. All of a sudden, she didn't have blood in her stool for a day, then a couple days, and then all of a sudden, she didn't need to get adjusted for a week with her neck, and then all of a sudden, it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Long story short, she's now 3 years removed from any blood in her stool, and she can even eat a raw food vegan diet, which is you just can't eat raw fruits and vegetables when you've got colitis, and that's what you crave when you've gone 15 years of not being able to eat that stuff. And she's gone a year in between needing a neck adjustment.
Wow.
And so that is what ultimately changed for her. Now, there was stuff we had to work on, the chemical and the physical, but she actually didn't even notice a difference in her overall well-being until that aha moment. That was a game changer. It was a very, very definitive, it was like repentance. It was a 180-degree turn.
Wow.
And so it was, and what we think I had said is, what would you say to one of the women you are coaching or working with at church, if they were being resistant like this, or if they thought like this? And that's kind of the aha that she had. Hmm. And it still was her strength, but this one negative thought and belief crept in there.
Well, like you said, our strength can become our weakness. So it's like, yeah. I'm all buttoned up on this one. So this can't possibly be, there can't be anything here.
Yeah.
And take heed if
yes,
you think you stand,
that's right?
Wow. Boy, please name the book again. So sorry.
The Deepest Well.
The Deepest Well. All righty. And Dr. Susie and Dr. Troy, I think we'll take this question.
She hasn't even read it yet, I bet.
I know. It's brilliant, though. I already know.
Yes.
So, anyway, have any tips for helping my 11-year-old get to sleep? He says he just isn't tired despite the early wake-up routine we have. Now that school is back in session. What do you say?
Ooh, that's a good question. That is interesting. Remember when you're 11 years old, that food is energy. Mm-hmm. And so for us, as we get older, we eat and it actually makes us a little more tired. But I would say just making sure they're not eating too late before bed. And I'd also say if there's any way to get the bedroom routine or bedtime routine so that there's not a lot of screen time or anything beforehand, that helps. The more physical activity during the day, the better. So strangely enough, if they're truly wired, you have to look at diet, make sure they're not doing any caffeine. No 11-year-old should be doing caffeine. Not doing caffeine or sugar in excess, and then run them. Literally run them. If they want to be tired and if they have that much energy, then use those calories for exercise and get them out playing or running. And I'm not saying you do a Rocky Balboa thing and drive the car and make them run behind you or anything like that.
Cool.
But yeah, it could be. Bike rides or anything, you can join them as well. But you want to burn those calories off. I would start with something along those lines until they develop the habit. Don't believe a lie of theirs, an innocent lie of that they're doing okay or they have energy and they don't need to go to bed early.
They need their sleep.
They need their sleep. So.
Now, I'm sure this has nothing to do with her, but it just made me think of the question. I wonder if insomnia is on the rise with kids being more sedentary in front of screens, you know, because in my growing up, you know, go outside and play. We'll see you in 8 hours. You know,
yes.
We play kick the can and we're running all over the place,
right.
You know. But are you seeing, what are the physiological changes you're seeing in young people that maybe are less active these days?
Yeah, we're seeing the increase in computer time, the increase in calories with low nutrients.
Oh, wow.
Meaning like snacking on bad food, chips, candies, whatever, increase in pop and fruit juices that weren't there before. So we're seeing a lot. And remember, what increases or decreases your ability to get into sleep and deep sleep is stress, inflammation, and infection. Mm. Our diet has a lot to do with inflammation, stress, the computer screens and everything, even though that might be fun for them if they're playing a game or something like that. Excessive computer time or phone time can actually trigger a stress response. And so we are seeing quite a bit of that. And if they have circulating adrenaline right before going to bed, that's going to be a hard thing to actually get out of their system.
Wow. All right, we're going to pause here as we're going to break. Another book someone mentioned was The Body Keeps Score by Dr. Vander Kolk. I've quoted from him before. This is my paraphrase of one of his quotes from that book, but something to the effect that after trauma, the world is experienced through a different nervous system. While others are showing up to life and experiencing it firsthand, the person who has trauma in their soul is spending most of their time suppressing inner chaos. And I think that's so amazing and so well put, isn't it? Where
absolutely.
It's like you're just trying to deal with all the stuff that's firing off in you. That's why, you know, when Jesus, you know, wants to restore your soul, he means it. He cares about the human condition. We care about the human condition. Talk to Dr. Troy Spurl today, and we've got more questions coming in. We'll tackle more on the other side. We'll be back in a minute. Love that song. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl, who's in studio today. He is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us every month to help us on the health and healing journey. We believe so strongly that God wants you well and that you can play a massive part, a massive role in your health and healing process. And it's amazing some of the tweaks and choices you can make that can make all the difference in the world. Before the break, I'm going to have to jump back so my screen will hop. But the one about the young man sleeping, I see the open of her text that says, yes, he's on a screen at school. And I'll look at the rest of that in a minute. But if I'll lose the one I've got right here if I hop to that one. This dear one says, I have had a recent GI map test, which shows several infections, H. pylori, additional dysbiotic overgrowth bacteria. I'm seeing a chiropractor who does applied kinesiology who's helping me. Can stress cause these types of infections?
Yes, absolutely. Stress can cause those infections. Generally speaking, H. pylori is going to be usually in the stomach. It can be further down the bowel too. But when that gets out of balance, it's usually because the pH is not very good or balanced with the stomach, and stress sets that off. So stress can affect your ability to get into deep sleep. Deep sleep helps the vagus nerve or the rest and digest nerves work properly. And if, especially long-term stress, we start to see your ability to make stomach acid decrease. And then when the stomach acid decreases, then the pH of the intestines decrease. So just like if the pH of the soil of your garden changes, weeds will grow instead of the good crops. And in the intestinal tract, the weeds are bad infection bugs, bad bacteria, parasites, things like that.
All right. This just in from my sister, so I've got to get my phone up here. So let me see here. All right. I hope it was okay to identify you, but oh no, she's asking for a friend. Let's see here. She really is asking for a friend. I'm so sorry. Are there any supplements on the market to regulate cortisol in someone who's going through menopause and in a stressful season?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few. So it depends. To regulate cortisol, if you want to increase cortisol, then the supplement has to have licorice plus, or licorice plus, that was the name of it, has to have licorice root in it. And so licorice root, we do only want you on there for a short period of time because generally speaking, that'll work within 3 months. And if you're taking too much of it or taking it too long, it can actually raise your blood pressure. So licorice root is important for that part of it. And then if your cortisol is spiking too high, ashwagandha is the primary one that we like to use. That helps. And there's a lot of different supplements postmenopausal that help. And a lot of times you need both. So you have to start with the licorice root supplement and then get eventually to more of an ashwagandha supplement that helps with the regulation of how the brain is interpreting the cortisol. Now, the other thing is postmenopausal, you also have to make sure your insulin and your thyroid are balanced to make sure that cortisol is balanced. When you go through menopause, your adrenal glands that make the cortisol, your ovaries stop making estrogen. So now that role goes to your adrenal glands. They're not very good at it, so it's a little stressful. And so you can get these spikes and imbalances with DHEA, it's called, and cortisol. So the reality is that there's just more work needed for on the adrenal glands. Vitamin B5, B6 also help with that, with the regulation. So licorice plus or licorice root in the beginning for a couple months if you're deficient in cortisol, anything with ashwagandha, and then B5, B6 are very good.
So Smart Water just came out with a water that has ashwagandha. You can get it at Target or any other kind of stores. But is there a particular supplement that has all of that in it for a woman who's postmenopausal?
Yeah, so they're from Nutridyne, they have like they call them stress essentials. So there's stress essentials, licorice plus, stress essentials, B1, B6, stress essentials, relax. And so all of those give you a bit of an idea. So you can look up Nutridyne and then
and they kind of tell you what
type
you
in Nutridyne need. Stress, and then you'll get the gamut.
Yeah, Nutridyne, and that's DYN Nutridyne.
Correct.
So, all right, thank you. If you have any more questions for your friends, let me know, sis. All right. excuse me. All right, let's see here. We got a couple. Looking at my time here. Okay. Dr. Susie, Dr. Troy. That's just, I don't know why it makes me happy. I did nothing to earn that title, and I'm not a doctor, but what? I play one on radio. All right. Here we go. My 22-year-old son has some sort of gut issues. That's what I'm guessing, although I'm sure it could be bigger than that. Lots of diarrhea, as well as burping, gas, uncomfortable throat thing. Sounds like SIBO to me, but okay. I know that's so technical. He's willing to try taking stuff, but isn't here in town. We tried a probiotic, which might have made it worse if it's SIBO, I'm thinking. But anyway, I'm wondering if maybe we should try an enzyme. I'm sure stress is a factor as well. Any thoughts would be greatly appreciated. I'd love to get him in for blood work next time he's in town, if I can. Thanks, you both, for everything. We appreciate you, and thanks for humoring me. What do you say, Doc?
Enzymes, maybe, yes. So usually with diarrhea, though, we usually see people that have developed a gluten sensitivity or dairy sensitivities, or a real severe food reaction. Now, that can come on from stress later on in life, because if you're genetically prone to it, then you could be okay with gluten all the way up until you have pretty significant stress. So I would start with removing gluten, see for 2 weeks how you do, removing dairy for 2 weeks how you do, and then you've got parasites are the next thing that can cause diarrhea and SIBO.
Hmm.
So, and the other gas experiences and stuff like that does sound a little bit more like bile duct or gallbladder issues. So it is possible that there's a problem there as well that needs to be addressed. But I would start with removing the inflammatory food first. Gluten is primary suspect. Stress by itself can cause colitis and ulcerative colitis, and so and is the primary cause for that as well. And so if it is all stress-induced and no infection, then that's a different story. Bowel studies and things, tests like that can be done from a distance. So if he wants to order a test, he can do it basically wherever he is. He doesn't need to be in town, and many doctors will run that for you.
And it takes a while to get gluten out of your system. So some, I've heard people kind of go, I gave it up for a day and then for half a day and a little bit here and a little bit there, and it didn't make any difference. Yeah. Well, it's in their system, right? It takes a little bit of time.
2 weeks. You got to have at least 2 weeks. And even then, the immune system reaction to it can still be elevated for months afterwards.
Wow. And this one I want to wrap up in a hug, this dear soul. He says, I've been having memory issues after the loss of my wife. Oh, it's been a year now, but things don't seem to be getting better. Is there something doctor might recommend? I've tried Hyssop, maybe a bit of help, but not much.
Well, a lot of factors there. And the fact that you identified with the loss of your wife means that there's sorrow and emotions involved there. And so it's really, really hard to say for sure. I would lean towards increasing physical activity and just to keep the brain going, making sure you're eating enough. You need good balanced blood sugar for brain activity. And then there are some brain products that increase blood flow that have ginkgo in there. And so that anything with ginkgo can also be potentially helpful. But there's a lot to unpack there, and then you can get more specific. But if you're dealing with a depression scenario or deep sorrow, then working with someone with that might be of tremendous value as well. And then supporting, nothing is better than movement and physically being active, getting up and living life, if you will. It doesn't mean that you're living it without her. It just means that you're living it for her and helping yourself and in doing that. So if you've been a little more docile and it, just do a check-in and see if you've been depressed, because the fact that you mention that particular incident in conjunction with it just leads me to think that there might be more of a sorrow scenario here.
Oh, bless your heart. Very sorry. We're coming up to the end here, but I have a quick question, I think. Will ashwagandha interfere with synthetic thyroid medicine? She takes a Synthroid.
Yeah, there'll be an interplay with all herbals. You have to make sure that you check and regulate your medication. But ashwagandha is an adaptogen, so thyroid it doesn't do too much with, but you always have to check that. So thyroid, just if your numbers are off at your next check-in, then you can sometimes have to reduce the thyroid medication. But it usually works more with regulation of the other hormones. You're producing cortisol, insulin.
And ashwagandha could help people sleep even if they take it earlier in the day. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So that might be worth just looking into anyway. Well, this time has flown right by. Doc, thanks for joining us today. I know. Where'd the time go? Look forward to our conversation next month. Thanks so much for the time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.